And welcome, Natalie Malchus. We miss you. How are you doing without us? Holding up? Must be tough.
I'm holding up Clarence.
Knit. Listen, I couldn't sleep much last night, and I was just watching things, and I saw the numbers tick up from 27 at one stage, and then 30 and 32, and I was like, wow, this must have been a very busy pocket on that fateful day. Where were most of the people found yesterday? Found in the same place?
So that's what we just heard from the disaster management chief here in the Garden Route Gerard, also a short while ago, Clarence, that they've actually focused on sections B and C, where they heard from the developers, where most people had been working on that day. And that's why there's this rapid recovery of construction workers over the last 24 hours or so, because they're focused on pockets where they knew many people had been working at the time of the incident.
I got you. And just from the little briefing that we got through the news bulletin earlier, this was on the third floor. That was the hive of activity. That would have been fourth floor up from the basement. Is that correct?
That's right. So now they're moving deeper into the trenches. They're heading closer to the first floor, where they know a few people had been working, specifically a group of cleaners, all women. They know at this point in this pocket there were 13 women. They've already recovered six, so they're making significant headway in retrieving bodies that are on their list, are on the register, and who they are expecting to find.
Are we still holding out hope for survivors at this late stage?
Always, Clarence. In fact, we just heard from the Garden Route Disaster Chief, Gerard Otto, who says as they move deeper into the trenches, they're also approaching those cavities and those voids where they remain hopeful people would have found shelter and would have been able to survive after the building collapsed. They still consider this a search and rescue operation. They're working in tandem with the demolition crews that are clearing on the periphery on pockets that have already been thoroughly searched, and the disaster officers are sure there will exist no one in those piles of rubble. The demolition crews are beginning to clear that. So we're moving towards a envisioned target of the end of the week, the site being clear.
I've got a message in, and maybe you can talk to some of the questions raised. The first one is, could they not have focused on those pockets earlier to find survivors quicker?
Part of the difficulty with the fall was that, well, with any fall, is the structure is no longer stable. So they went in on the parts that were safest, where they knew they could make the most successful retrievals at the fastest possible time. All of this is determined by the safety not only of the people who are under the rubble, but also of the disaster officers, and making sure that no further incidents is created by reckless and rushed action.
Absolutely.
So the first port of call was safety, and they went in on where they could do these retrievals quickly, but in the safest possible manner.
In the early days of this unfortunate tragedy, there was talk about the builders or the owners or whatever not necessarily being on site and guiding rescue efforts with this kind of information. The question in from a listener also, any word on the owners and their whereabouts and whether they're working with authorities?
Well, that's a great question, because I overnight, for the very first time since getting here at practically midnight on Tuesday morning where the incident had just happened, for the first time I have had contact with the owners of the site, New Victorian Development. We had previously been talking New Trend Ice Project, which was the name given to us by the municipality during a press briefing late last week. The owners have now clarified that New Victorian Developments are the owners of this pocket of land. In the statement, I mean, of course, we work in broadcasting, and my first request would have been to speak to someone, to sit across the table from someone. At best, have someone stand at the site and do that interview. But that has been refused. They issued a statement to say that they are now cooperating with authorities. This after we heard from the authorities themselves, the Labour Department and the Police Department, saying they're struggling to make contact, they're struggling to get any information, and as yet, not all role players were forthcoming with the information being requested. We hear now from New Victorian Developments, the owners of this project, they are cooperating with the authorities, and what's more, they have issued their condolences and say that they will support the families. When we speak to the families, they're yet to put faces to names or have any interaction with regard to the what happens next phase.
Yeah. Okay, so you're saying this is obviously the next leg in this particular story, a focus on the guys, the contractors, the owners, and maybe their contribution to a tragedy?
Absolutely, Clarence. In fact, there are multiple investigations running simultaneously. So we start with the police investigation. For as long as there are bodies still trapped under the rubble, this is a crime scene. This is an active police site, okay. And SAPS is the leading authority. That investigation has been triggered. Only once that is completed, the Labour Department can get into its work. Parallel to that police investigation, the Engineering Council of South Africa is looking into this. The conduct of all the contract workers, the managers, the project heads, that's being looked at by an independent body. We also have the Human Rights Commission that will take a look at how this was able to happen, whether these companies had gone about it the right way in collating the names, the identity information of their workers that they had on duty for them, just to make sure that regulations weren't flouted. But at this point, there's strong suspicion. We heard it from the officials themselves. There is indication that the regulations were not upheld, and many of these workers were practically yanked off the street and shoved into a building for work.
Yeah, I think we're going to be following this story for a while still, way after the recovery is complete. But I have to ask this question because I think you introduced us to the mother of the 18-year-old, is it a Malawian son, who was missing in the collapse? Any news on him? People wanting an update.
So we still see Siobhan on the pavement occasionally. She hasn't yet heard anything. We heard from authorities only six of those bodies that have been recovered have now been linked to families, and a positive identification has been made. This is a long, tedious process, and unfortunately for Siobhan, she remains one of those relatives who as yet is no closer to closure.
Thank you for that, Natalie. We'll touch base with you as is necessary during the course of the day or days to get an update on that tragedy still playing out. Enjoy.